Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
When you hear that bomb blast, get a shot glass. Listen to the podcast, it's all up in your mom's ass. Big J kills them like O.J. Simpson. A quick hit the fingerless glove, don't get hit break quick by that big dick, Dave Smith. He all up in your ribs while he talking politics. Don't get bit when you rattle by that Puerto Rican snake. They natural born killers, legion of skanks.
Welcome to the club.
Lewis,
what?
I'm asking you before we start officially. Will you talk about Aaron Berg said you got his lifts thing suspended, and it makes me laugh because you always say you're better with like
yeah, 100%.
But he said he's better. He didn't say he's perfect.
I'm a work in progress.
Save this all for the show.
Just put this out. We're recording.
Oh, we're on the show. Okay, so you have to pull up Aaron's post. On his Instagram, he put up
Aaron lost lift now because of you.
For a couple hours.
The thing is, I got it. It's a rookie move because you never call the Uber with Lewis. Yeah. If you're getting in an Uber with Lewis, you hand him cash if you have to. Lewis calls that Uber.
Say your Uber's not working.
pull up Aaron's post.
Venmo him $50 before. Like Feehan throws a friend in the world. Reminds me of the time we had to get out of an Uber in Harlem.
Yeah, that happened one time.
Yeah,
that was my takeaway from the comment.
I mean, does anybody want to read it? I can read it if you
want. Yes, I'll do it. Hi, Aaron. This is Natalie with the Lyft Safety System. Thank you for getting back to me and following up on the report, which alleged that you attempted to physically assaulted your driver during a ride. After further consideration,
if I was going to assault a driver, I would have assaulted the driver.
I'm just saying, how do you attempt to physically assault the driver? Ridiculous.
Please keep in mind that any future reports of this nature may lead to permanent deactivation of your account from the Lyft platform. And it says that, what is that? That feeling when?
The face when?
The face when you on the road with Lewis?
That's the face one? I thought it was the feeling one.
It is. No, it's got to be.
I think it's the face one. Hold on. I mean, Alex, you're the youngest.
I was the feeling.
That feeling.
No.
Yeah, it's the feeling.
No.
Yeah, isn't even like a thing that people
say. That wouldn't make sense.
I always thought it was like the face when you, like when that happens, it's a face you make. That's what I always thought every one of those memes were.
And then it's always like, make up your own face. Figure out which face that is.
All right, I'll tell you what happened. So here's the thing. I have been better with lifts, and a big part of that reason is that
you've been great with your own lifts.
part of the reason is because I now drive and I'm rarely in lifts. It doesn't really come up too often.
Right.
And now for the most part, when I'm taking a lift, it's not like a state of emergency. I'm not running late to work. I'm always running late everywhere I go, but most of the time that I'm running late to something, I'm behind the wheel. It's just, you know, it's a different problem. It's not the same problem that I used to have. Right.
Right.
You know, sometimes I'm on the road, I'll take a lift home from the airport, you know, I'll take a lift, but it's rare that it's like this urgency, got to get somewhere. And that's usually the trigger why I kind of freak out on Lyft drivers and Uber drivers. Right. So it's nothing to do with them being an Uber driver or a Lyft driver. They just happen to be in the crossfire when I'm running late for something, right?
Wrong place, wrong time, Haji.
So did Aaron tell you what happened?
No.
You don't even know what happened.
No.
Jay, you're going to be on my side. Jay, Dave, you might be on my side. Maybe you wouldn't have handled it how I handle it and how crazy I got, but I promise you'll be on my side.
Okay.
Oh, he he said you were drunken on Percocet, though.
I was drunken on Percocet. Well, I wasn't drunk yet. I was on Percocet. And I will say, Percocet is not a good look for me. It's depressing. It's not fun. I don't like it. I'm glad I got through all of those 20 pills in 3 days.
Jeez.
So I sit down with
Percocets
Aaron.
Aren't that strong. You got to take a few. Start getting a buzz.
Yeah, you really you got two to
they're so strong. They're so strong.
So listen. I sit down and I start talking to Aaron, and I don't even remember what the conversation was, but we were just literally having a very casual conversation where I was like, don't you hate faggot Uber drivers? Every one of them, bar none. No, I'm just about whatever. Now, what happened was, I guess I was cursing in the conversation, like just casually, though. I'd be like, this fucking guy, you know, whatever. We're just having.
I'm going to kill this fucker.
No, I was showing him something on my phone. It wasn't anything like crazy. It was like just
me stabbing another Uber driver.
Well, it was as simple as me like casually cursing about something like,
sure.
You know, we were talking about it. So the Uber driver stops the car and he goes, excuse me, sir, you cannot use that language in my car. And I just saw red. I mean, from there, it's really all a blank. Because what happened in my head, I mean, I just connected the dots. I did the mental jiu-jitsu.
I'm not saying he's right. That's a weird thing to do. But I was expecting a lot more when you go, you guys are all going to be on my side.
No, you're on my side.
He said, please don't curse. And I saw red.
Yeah, that really, like you guys did not match energies. Sir, please don't curse in my car. He goes,
they drew first blood.
He's having war flashbacks.
Doggy, I am fucking telling you that I can't even explain it. I just got so angry. I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, we're not children. I was like, you could hear fucking words. I was like, he was like, sir, you got to get out of my car right now. And I was like, remove me, faggot. Then I got crazy. But I was like, remove me. I was like, I'm pretty sure I threatened to rape him. I'm pretty sure it got to the point where I was so angry where I just started losing control of everything.
You attempted assault.
I did not attempt assault.
I'm not on your side, Lewis.
I attempted to rape the guy, but my dick just wouldn't fit.
Why did you think we were going to be on your side for this?
Honestly, it's a little bit of a weird request from a driver to not curse. But yeah, on that, I probably
to kick us out of his car.
All right. Well, no, but he didn't threaten to kick you out. He said you can't talk like that in his car, right?
No, and I said, no, we can. Shit. We're adults. I'm not cursing at you. By the way, I'm exaggerating to a certain degree how quickly I went from 0 to 100. It was like 0 to 30. We're like an aggressive, like, whoa, you can't hear big words.
A Lewis 30 is a regular guy 110, just for the record.
And then I like
I'm only at 30. I'm like, I'm murdering your family if you tell me not to curse.
So then when he threatened to kick me out, that's when I went to like Mach 9, like light speed, like you just see the
where just was colors. On this scale of 30 to Mach 9, where is threatening to rape him come in? What was that? What level was that?
That's like Mach 2.3.
I think I said I was like, get out of the car, I'll make you suck my dick or something like really rapey. Aaron's like, you just threatened to rape a man. You can't do that. Not on my lift.
That's weird. There's really always been like a real.
I can't believe you did it on his. You had no consideration that it was his lift.
I love
when you're on Mach 9, dude. You're not considering whose lift on.
Yeah, Jay, you're talking like it's Mach 7. This was Mach 9.
That's my fault. I didn't realize it was Mach 9. I've only been Mach 2.
I love the intersection of thug shit and gay shit. You know, like that Venn diagram where like the hardest, like the thuggiest shit you could say is really just that you'll make love to
classic,
another dude.
Mike Tyson, I'll fuck you till you love me.
I think there were like Styles P lyrics where he was talking about like fucking dudes in jail or something like that. It might have been Sheik Looch. It was one of those guys.
Taking them booty holes.
But it was just like, that's how gangster I am. I run prison.
Sheik Looch is from the Locks. What up, Lewis?
So is Styles P.
Couple of white boys fucking laying hip hop down on you, dude.
What are you gonna do?
You ain't hip-hop.
So anyway, you don't see what I'm saying. Like what would you have done, Jay, if an adult told you to not? It wasn't cursing at him, it wasn't being aggressive on the phone.
I swear
it wasn't
to God,
like I was cursing somebody out.
I'll answer you. It would have been curiosity. I would have just, and I wouldn't even have said it shitty. I would have been like, oh, is it just like a personal preference or is it like religious reasons or something? Like what is it? I would be curious. I wouldn't be furious.
Is it your God of terror?
Jay would be. I'm pretty sure you'd be curious, and then you'd like. I think Jay would needle him, but like with like funny. Like I think for the rest of the, I think for the
if
rest
he was
of
a
the
dick,
ride,
if he was being a dick, like for my first question ride, would be genuine.
Like saying, you'd be like saying words and be like, "Sir, is that okay?"
It's like, yeah, yeah.
You know, like
how about
like,
crap? Can I do crap? Where does crap fall?
Yeah, like shit, like that.
But, maybe yeah. If he was being sort of like curt about it and like kind of short and shitty, but if he was just answering the questions, I would just talk. I would ask him why.
What if he was being like Kurt Metzger about it?
Actually,
yeah, you
Metzger
might have to attack
it?
Him.
Yeah. Bug-eyed and always threatening to drive into a tree.
Don't curse in my car.
Yeah, no, that's a pretty big leap.
I'm not proud of it. So I did immediately feel like an asshole, and then I, you know, we got out of the car, but he did the thing where like he kicked us out, and then Aaron went to go close the door. I was like, no, we're gonna leave the door open. And then I opened the other passenger door. So like we had two doors open, so I had to make him get out to like close the doors, but he didn't. He just accelerated fast and both the doors went and then I started hobbling on my cane toward the car. I have no idea why.
That makes it so much funnier. Makes it so much funnier that he kicked you out on a cane to hobble to your next Uber.
I've got a bad leg. Yeah, that's wild, man. You got his account suspended. Were you hyper apologetic or did you not give a shit?
Not at the moment. The next day I apologize though.
Oh, that's
sorry about you. Yeah, I mean, if you get somebody permanently removed from a ride share, that's bad. I never considered that.
Well, it's hilarious.
Being banned from ride share?
Getting Aaron banned from a ride share is hilarious. So funny.
It was only Lyft anyway. I'm an Uber man myself.
Depends. I have both because now like you order the Uber and if it's like 10 minutes away, you go, let me see how far Lyft is.
Yeah.
I don't know why Lyft feels like the more Puerto Rican deli of the two.
It sure does.
I agree. I mean, not in the exact words, but the sentiment, I do agree.
You get what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's what I feel like too. I have Uber because I feel like honestly, my belief is because it's just Uber looks like a corporate, just like you're going to get a, even if they show up like shitty cars, it just looks like it's going to be a corporate, like better situation. Lyft looks like a college kid started it. It's purple lettering. They have mustaches on their cars. Remember that shit?
Yeah. I got Lyft with first. Because they had that like deal that they used to lure you in with. You got like free rides or like several free rides. And then I used to use it and then it was like, and then I just went to Uber, but now I just have it as like, cause there are areas where like you can't get an Uber and Lyft will work.
Yeah. Lyft typically, if you're in an area where Ubers are more rare, Lyft will come much faster. There's less people using the app. But my assumption is everybody that's an Uber driver is also a Lyft driver, and they're just on both apps at all
there
times.
There was one area, I think it was in South Dakota. I can't remember, but I think it was South Dakota where they actually like ran Uber out, and like there's no Uber. You can only use Lyft.
Yeah, they come up with these like silly laws, like, you know, which in a weird way, like I almost appreciate them because like you're like, oh yeah, dude, fuck yeah. The mom and pop shops, those taxis, you know, they should be able to
like make.
Yeah. But then I fucking go, you know, it's so much more convenient to not have to call a car service or wait for it. Like when you're in an area where there's no Lyft or Uber, I mean, it feels like you're in fucking no man's
land. Dude, it's always
standing
like
in the middle
that.
Of a hotel parking lot and screaming to the sky, what do you want from me? How do I get to the airport?
it's always wild. You always want like,
and they suggest they go, oh, we have a short bus that takes you every 15 minutes to the airport. I go, I'm not hopping on some goddamn doofball bus to go to the airport. I want a man to take me in his car.
Yeah,
or a lady.
That's a wild thing, when
I got a woman, damn, you take a long ride back from the city into the city. You ever get a woman driver?
I don't think so on that ride. I've gotten them before though. I mean, yeah, I used to get them sometimes taking Ubers from my old place, like my last place. I used to get them when I called Ubers there. You would be more often get a woman. Yeah, it's awkward.
Oh man, I had a in Providence, Rhode Island, I had a female Uber driver get on an off ramp. Thank God a car wasn't like coming up the off ramp, because she started driving down it, and I'd be like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Well, I had that recently. I told you about that with like a drunk, drunk, like Spanish dude. And he got on a parkway going the wrong way.
The wrong way, yeah.
And right. I was like, dude.
He tried to park on the parkway and drive on the driveway.
He's like, must be a full moon. All these people driving the wrong way on the street. The weirdos are out tonight. Am I right, my man?
And then sometimes, like, when you go to, like, you're in New York or LA, like, they must change the standard of the cars. Because, like, I know there's a certain standard. It has to be, like, above, like, a 2010 or whatever. Like, it can't be, like, an older car.
Oh,
like, cleanliness. But if you go to fucking just, like, Midwest, you order, like, an Uber Black, you'll get, like, a fucking old Honda Accord missing, like, a hubcap. They show up, and you're like, what is happening right now?
It's black, ain't it?
I'm black.
It's black. I'm black. Uber Black. Bobby says curb's the best. Shut up.
Curb.
No, I said it's the trashiest.
Oh, that's sorry. The trashiest.
We just saw curb and est.
Yeah, that's all I saw. Yeah, well, it popped up and went away. It's that's the Ralphie's. Is that? That's the yellow cab one,
yeah,
right?
It's the worst.
That's where
it's
you Uber so a yellow cab.
Ralphie uses that.
It's cheaper.
No, he uses it. He doesn't necessarily use it. He uses it to pay for.
Oh, okay.
It's also for that too.
Mm.
Right, Bobby?
Yeah, you could use it to pay for the cab if you're already in it.
Yeah, when you get in the cab, you can type in the number and pay for it. But he hasn't used it. But it is an Uber for yellow cabs.
It was Nate. I was like, who was with me? It was you, Jay, where I was trying to show Nate how cabs treat me in New York.
Wait, what?
I would like just stand in the street. I was like, Nate, watch how hard it is for me to get a cab. And it was just, and I was making it like a race thing, but it really wasn't a race thing, because it was more like I was just like a street kid thing. I was wearing
like
dirty pants.
Baggy. Yeah, I was gonna say it was like lip ring, fucking.
Yeah, just I wasn't looking like, and I also like I would regularly ditch cabs, like regularly.
Really?
I mean, all the time. The amount of cab drivers that I had, like, I tried to have the money.
You just run away?
No, we go. I'm going to go in the house and get money. I mean, when I live with Dave, all the time, like, Dave, there's a car. The cab is going to be beeping outside for 15 minutes.
Did you? I don't remember that.
Yeah, dude. And then you go like, no.
The door?
Well, no, because you're in an apartment building. They don't know where your apartment is.
We used to do that. I feel bad about it in hindsight, but I was much younger than that, like as a teenager, before I knew you. But we would do that, like, if we were like drinking in the city, we'd like get a cab back to Brooklyn and then just run. Oh shit.
Yeah. Well, when I was super young, I remember one time I was in like the seventh grade. We cut school. We took a cab to go to another school, which is a very funny thing to do to me. Like we want to go to like,
went to another school and took classes.
The curriculum was off the charts.
We just showed up at another school. They had much better ratings. What are we gonna say? I just needed to learn. No, we're talking about,
we get
chicks.
That one-on-one attention from these teachers.
I mean, there was less than 20 kids in every classroom. The PTA was making over $1 million a year. No, there was like, there's like chicks or whatever that we want to like talk to. So we cut school. And we got like a regular cab, you know, like whatever, you know, they weren't yellow cabs in Rockland County. It was just like a fucking whatever, like car service. And we ditched the guy. Like we ran like down, like through these woods to like go to the school. And I mean, it was like the guy knew we were going to the school. Like, obviously he was like, that's where these kids are going, is to this school. I think we were like talking about it in the car. And the guy just like literally was, we got to the school. He was waiting out in front of the school, and they called the cops. And then, I remember I was like, oh no, we'll pay you. And then I gave him my Haverstraw Middle School graduation ring as
collateral.
Yeah. Yeah. And I never paid him. That's how I lost my Haverstraw Middle School.
Sir, this is worth $7.
I legitimately would never have thought of a plan for anything being to do blah, 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 and then haul ass running away. I'm the one that's going
to
get caught.
I never wanted to.
I always picture myself getting picked up by the back of my pants, like Peter from the Cosby Show.
Or like when you try to hop over the fence, the back of your pants get caught on the back of the fence and you're just running in place.
Dude, this one time.
I've been stuck on the top of a fence before.
It always just worked. What we would do is we would just have him, we'd always have the car drop us by Prospect Park. And we just get out and run. And there was like kind of like, you know, I don't know, it was like a 6 foot like kind of fence thing there. And we just hop the fence and run into the park. And that's, they never follow you. Except this one time, this dude followed me. He got out and chased like four of us. And I mean, this
is funny, as an adult, you'd be rooting for the guy to catch
you. Oh, be rooting. I remember being well aware of that. I was pretty fast, kids. I was just
how old were you? 13?
16, something like
that. Yeah, but here you're at an age now as well. It's a weird move for him because, like, if he catches you guys are
we're gonna fuck him up.
You have to beat him up to get away. Now we have to jump you. We're not trying to jump you. We're trying to run away and not pay $5.
This guy had the fury of Allah in him. I mean, he was running as fast as I look back, and he was wearing like a big white, you know, like get up thing, and he's running. I remember looking back at him, and he was like, I mean, I was a fast 16-year-old kid. He was kind of keeping up with me, but I was sprinting, and he was yelling at the top of his lungs, "I fuck you. I fuck you." Like, no, he was so angry.
Yeah. Whoa.
But he eventually, we got away. I don't exactly remember how it ended, but I remember just being like, "Poof, that guy." Like, yeah, we would have. There were like four of us. We would have, if he caught us, we would have like been able to fuck him up.
But yeah, I mean, that's only the option. Like, you're not even trying to be violent, yeah. But it's like, you're like,
He was going to fight to the death, though. Like, he was he was ready for it. But yeah, he would have lost.
But I would all the time.
He goes, I mean, I'd rather die at your hands than tell my daughter I was a coward.
Well, the thing you do is you would, and look, I really do feel awful about it. It's a piece of shit thing to do.
Hey, stop saying you feel awful about it. There's no way you really feel awful about ditching cabs when you were a teenager. Who cares?
No, I genuinely do. Genuinely do. It's a horrible thing to do to people who are like working hard. But what we do is, we'd leave all the doors open, and no one is ever just going to leave their car with all its doors open to go run and try to fight four 16-year-olds, except this fellow. He left that car, didn't even think about it. Just fucking left it.
I had something like that happen one time. Like, me and my friends, there was like a hot dog cart, and we grabbed a hot dog and one of us ran from it. And when the guy went to go chase him, the other ones, we stole the actual cart, the entire cart. And we ran away with it. And then the guy was fucked up as the guy came and he caught the cart at the top of a subway stairs. We dropped it. And we let it go on him. And it almost killed him. It was fucked up. They put us in juvie for a few years. I got raped by Kevin Bacon.
Now here's the crazy part. One of us becomes a prosecutor. Okay. He ends up getting the case against the guy. What are the odds?
I always love that about Law and Order.
My priest comes out.
Law and Order SVU is such a show like that. It's just like so on the nose. Like, it's like, this guy shot me, I'm gonna be on the case. Like, they would never have you work the case of somebody who shot you.
Yeah,
I mean, the Mariska Hargitay, Detective Benson character. Her long-term now adopted son was just someone from like an episode where like she was like a drug dealer's bitch, and she got murdered, and she had this baby, and like Detective Benson just took the kid and raises it as her own.
Like, as if there's no other like strings you'd have to, or no other.
There's just a lot you'd have to. Yeah, it was like one day in court, and they were like, "Yeah, sure, you can keep Detective Benson. You're a single mother." Who works 24/7 in SVU. It's so funny. Oh, good stuff.
All good stuff.
Good stuff.
What's it called? I was going to say before, I thought we were talking about a minute ago. Oh, we were talking about ditching cabs. Yeah, what I would do is in the city, I would say, oh yeah, I have no money. I have to go get money from my girlfriend upstairs. And they were like, what? I was like, yeah. They're like, oh, we have to leave something. I was like, got nothing on me to leave. That's weird. And there was like this just like moment where you just see on their face, they go, I know you're not coming back, but there's nothing I can do. There's like, they can't physically hold you there. You haven't committed a crime. It's not like you're saying like, you know, you're like, call the cops. I'm getting money for you. And then worst case scenario, you can beat them up.
The only thing I did,
worst case scenario, you rape their mouth.
consistently.
You should have just let me go, bitch.
The only thing I thought consistently immoral with like that kind of shit was when we were younger. Definitely used to switch tags. We said the switch tags at Modell's and get like, you know, you get $200 sneakers for $20.
Nothing immoral.
Or...
nothing immoral at all about that.
There is
immoral, immoral for a child. Hold on, I'm not saying for you right now to go do it. It's not immoral. You can afford it. It's not like there's something immoral about like you're like beating the system as a poor young kid who's just sort of underprivileged and trying to fucking.
I understand.
I don't think there's anything genuinely immoral about it.
Yeah, stealing
it's illegal.
Stealing is immoral. I not really.
I don't think it's. I don't think it's inherently immoral to steal.
I do.
Yeah, no, sure it is. But it's
I don't think it's inherently immoral if there's a homeless person and he fucking steals bread. I just don't think it's immoral.
Really what we're talking about.
No, we used to
we're talking about kids though. You're a bunch of you have the financial security of a homeless person.
I judge.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world. You're like it's like more like
but
kid
you weren't
shit,
Jay
but...
wasn't stealing food. I mean like he's just
fine.
Like,
I'll say it's immoral, but is it brutal?
No, dude. All right. I have a very high standard of brutal.
Brutal, right. No, that's a different category.
Let's say like, he goes brutal. Like, okay, let's not even talk brutal. I want people to enjoy themselves on this show.
Okay, let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not brutal at all, 10 being the most brutal. So like 10 is the Holocaust, 1 is getting turned away at Canada and having to take a train.
If even. I think of what else I used to like.
Hey, I really hate bringing it up over, like every year or so, but it's so funny. Just years later, you're like, "Hey, you know what, dude? After thinking
sucks,
about it,
dude.
That was pretty brutal."
Sucks.
You know, dude, I'll give it to you. After a few years of really letting it sit, that was pretty brutal.
So you and Jay are in an old age home. Jay finally leans over to you. I've been
thinking
about something.
You know what? You son of a bitch. You may have had a point. Oh fuck!
Just fucking crazy. That just
I love to, and you know what I mean.
Friends,
by this.
The things you just won't let go. You're like, it's not really brutal.
On the most,
well,
core
that's
level,
exactly the word I use to describe
on the,
it.
On the most core level, it's definitely brutal. But I'm wondering, like, I wish I could remember what bums me out. I wish I could remember, for argument's sake, like the head space. I mean,
like,
I had
what,
a reason
what you were
to
hanging
say.
On to. What you were hanging,
yeah,
on to.
Yeah, yeah. There's something I was.
You
like,
can't remember why, because there was. I get what you're saying. There was a thread you were holding on to of why you were having that thought,
right.
And then you could justify actually arguing it. And then
oh,
like,
I remember.
It just was.
I think I remember what it was. I drove the whole trip, and I was fucking like lights, just like exhausted. But I didn't want anybody else to drive, really.
Yeah,
and I drove, and I was just like, I just drove 9 hours. That's brutal.
That's brutal. I was like, are you fucking crazy? I had a guttural reaction hearing that again. Made me angry again.
And you slept on a bunch of the drive.
Well,
it's literally all it was.
Christine, I remember this now. Christine came with us, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christine was there, and so Christine sat up front with you.
Right.
And then I remember I fell asleep in that, which I never fall asleep on like road trips. If you're driving, I'll always be like, no, I'll stay up with you. I'm not going to like sleep. I'll stay up and bullshit with you if you're driving. But when you're in the back seat.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's always like in the you know, in the front, when you're in the back, you're kind of like removed from the conversation. There's
I like when you're in the back,
you
too. You're like, I'm not even going to sleep. You're like, I'm just going to close my eyes. I guess to listen to what everybody say. It doesn't matter if my eyes are open. They're not looking at me anyway.
Yeah.
And then your mouth's just open.
I was at. And then I do remember waking up at one point, and I think Christine was asleep in the front too. Just everyone was asleep.
That really grinded Jay's gears.
Shitty. It is a shitty thing when someone has to drive and everyone else is just kind of like.
It's not shitty, though. And I'll say right now, because Jay refuses to let anyone else drive, he makes his own bed.
There's something to that. I do think.
Something to it. It's all of it.
No, it's proper etiquette.
No, you make your own bed for sure, but it'd be cool if somebody would just like hang out.
I think if you're in the passenger seat, it's kind of on you to not.
Granted, to be fair,
sleep.
If I'm driving, there's a good chance I'm also going to fall asleep.
So
dude, there's times where I'm driving and like I will like my eyes will full fledged close. I start to like get into like a dream and I go, oh wait, huh, hey, and I'm like in another town. It gets crazy.
When I was don't do that. When I was driving, when I would drive home from Philly. or from New York to Philly all the time. I remember having that. I remember like seeing an exit sign and then feel like you're blinking and opening your eyes like the next exit's kind of coming up and you're like, whoa. You're like, what just happened? Like, that's, you know what I mean? I'm like Jersey Turnpike exit, so it's like a couple miles down the road.
You close like, your eyes. What they say, like, if you take your eyes off the road for like 4 seconds or whatever, you go like the length of 3 football fields or something like crazy.
Yeah.
It's a wild thing. Yeah, you're moving very fast in a car.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
So but, I guess we stand separately and in their own way, different ways. Driving while everyone's sleeping for 9 straight hours is brutal in a sense. And then even sleeping in a car and being turned around and taking a fucking, if you slept on the train back, still brutal.
But honestly, not as brutal as driving 5 sleeping passengers.
But man, that is okay. That's brutal, brutal. This is back to the one thing.
It wasn't I'll just give it, the I'll give it turn
to
around.
You. I'll give it to you. It's
I think that's another side of it that was maybe lost on you, because it wasn't just being turned around. It was losing the shows, losing the money for the gigs. Like gigging was so important. The road stuff was so far and few between.
Dark Comedy Festival, right?
Yeah, but it was open for it.
You ended up getting paid for it, but you didn't know that, I think, at the time.
No, I don't know if I ended up getting paid for it at all. But regardless, it was also opening for Attell, which I had never done at the time. Like,
yeah, it was
that
a
was
like show.
The implications,
cool show,
it was such like,
yeah,
it was. I remember Big J back in the day, I was doing guest spots for you in Philly at Laugh House. And this was like, Jay, wow, you're so far removed from just how important stage time was. I don't know if you even put yourself there anymore. It was just such, it was a different thing as well. I don't even know if you were sort of in the same like struggle for stage time that like me and Dave were when we first started in our career.
No, but it
was
like, sure, in Philly. Yeah, without a doubt. Philly,
we would go on road gigs. We would do guest spots. It's funny to be like how often I did just guest spots, like on the road where I spent an entire weekend to make no money to do 5 minutes on 4 shows throughout the weekend.
Probably and lose money.
Oh, definitely
hopes,
losing
on the
money,
hopes 100%. That like, on the hopes that like you'll get some time. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe I'll be able to very often, by the way, we would book this and I wasn't even guaranteed a guest spot. Jay's like, just come. Yeah. And I'm like, really? He was like, yeah, yeah. And one time we went to Philly, dude. And then even though I was coming and he was like, oh, my buddy's Lewis is going to do a guest spot. They're like, all right, fine. You can do it. And then they were like, yeah, you got to be standing over here at this certain time. And it was Laugh House.
Okay.
And I didn't know like where, like I was just not standing where I needed to be standing. And like they
over here, motherfucker.
they called up the feature or whatever. And it was like,
all right, Dookie Balls Johnson to the stage. Y'all make some noise.
Dude, it was
Dookie Balls Johnson.
Dude, I went out to Jay. No, it was because Jay wanted me to come outside and smoke with him. It was all his fault. I wasn't standing where I needed to be. And I was so mad at you.
Because in your mind, you were going on this gig to do a guest spot. But in Jay's mind, you were going on this gig so someone would come stand with him while he smoked a cigarette. That was literally the whole appeal of it for Jay. He's like, oh, this is awesome. Lewis will come. Now someone will stand with me while I smoke a cigarette outside.
Stand with me. I want to hang out.
No, that's exactly what it was.
But that's what I mean.
You're like, dude, come on, don't worry, you got plenty of time. Suddenly, fucking goofy, smoking cigarettes, and they were like, "Hey, man, you're supposed to be on stage." And I was like, "What?"
You know, hallways up those steps,
dude. No, it's over. I'm not on stage. They brought up the feature.
So I just came to Philadelphia for nothing.
For nothing.
And they put you on a guest spot afterwards?
No. And I was like, dude. And I was like, what? You're like, ah, do whatever, dude. Maybe tomorrow. And I was like, maybe tomorrow. I'm in another fucking state.
He goes, I know, but you're sleeping in a room with me. Isn't that great news?
What are you talking about? Do you get to watch me smoke the cigarette? The spot's the icing on the cake.
Come watch me smoke, dude. You definitely still smoked at that time.
Oh, I definitely smoked at the time, but I was so mad at you. And I also was kissing your ass, so I couldn't show you that I was mad at you. So I was just like,
I'm like, yeah, whatever, dude. Let's get very cheap burgers.
Dude, it was fucking, oh my God, dude. Because it was the value of
being yelled at by the Fruit of Islam guys.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, motherfucker.
It was that's all it was back then. It's so funny, like, how that's all it was. And now, like, you really do take it for granted. You know, somebody asked me to do something for like, we're not even talking about the money. It's not even about the money. It wasn't a lot of money, but it was enough money where it was like 5 years ago, me would have been like ecstatic that somebody, in fact, Jay, it was the same thing. They want you to like try some like vegan food or something. No. Did Ralph ask you about it? I think Ralph didn't even bring it to you. He was like, yeah, there's no way Jay's going to do this. So he brought it to me. Much more desperate, Lewis. And, but I was like, I said no, but it's kind of funny, like to be in a position in my life where I'm going, like, I wouldn't just like jump on something. Like they're going to pay me to talk on camera about some shit. Like that's like to be able to pick and choose things and work on projects you only want to work on. It is fucking cool. It's a pretty big privilege.
I know what you mean about that.
I said that at one point I had a moment, it was years ago even, but it was like, it was writing stuff. I remember smoking a cigarette outside my place alone in Long Island that I was doing.
Devastating
that.
For you.
Devastating. I was doing that. I did a couple episodes that it was like history channels. I love the 1880s. They tried to do like a talking head show with like history stuff.
Mm.
I just got comedians to make jokes, basically. It was shitty, but I was on it and I didn't like it. I didn't think the jokes were ever that good. You know what I mean? It's like TV friendly. It's stuff that I don't really know much about, and I'm like reading up on and trying to force out jokes. I didn't love doing it, but I was sitting there and I was like, man, I was like, try to keep in your mind always, like, what a cunt I would think I was when I was a year or two in the comedy, bitching that I would have to go do a TV show on the History Channel tomorrow. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you'd be like, I'm gonna be on fucking TV. I said in my school, the kid who was in like a commercial, a Fruit Loops commercial, was like, he might as well have been like a nominated actor. You know what I mean? Like everyone's like, yo, you're on the television. It like blew people's mind. You know, it ended up being so much in this area of New York and stuff, Dave, like being crazy that somebody was on that you knew was on radio or TV. But like,
I think it was, I don't, I'm because I grew up in the suburbs too, but I remember when I first started doing comedy at the New York Comedy Club, maybe even before I started doing comedy, Ozzy Baez was the manager there. I don't know if you remember him, Jay.
Yep.
Spanish guy named Ozzy.
Yeah, he died.
Yeah, he died. Yeah, yeah. But I remember they introduced him as like, you've seen him on HBO. And he was the door guy and the manager. Like, knowing now what I know about comedy, like, oh man, like, obviously, like, but I remember at the time just being like, wow, dude, you were on HBO. And I remember asking him about, like, what did you do on HBO? And you tell, he got like a little embarrassed because it was like an extra role on some fucking, like, you know, yeah, cop show or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Tell me specifically because I'm going home right now to watch it. I have everything from HBO. Come on, get out of here, huh? What do you, come on. Hey, come on, guy. Don't make it a big thing, right? Yeah. No, it's really, but you know what's funny? That is, I said the shitty thing, I think the most shitty thing about doing comedy is even when you find the most success, like it took the innocence away of just enjoying it all. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Though there's definitely something about that for sure. There's something, it's like, there's a time in comedy when you're literally doing it for free when you first start, and then when you make any money you're just thrilled. So it's like, this is insane, I'm beating the system of life that someone's paying me to do this thing.
Also, a lot of us feel like we don't deserve it because you're just kind of like, well, I don't know, you got so used to being like, well, I make like a little bit like a money for that. You know,
well, that's the thing. You're doing it for free to now we were playing catch up because those first 10 years I made nothing. So right now, if you really just consider what I'm making and you roll it out over the course of my entire career, I don't make shit. So right. Maybe it's not taking it for granted or whatever, but it's like, it just, you go like, okay, cool. Let's move on to the next thing. Cause it doesn't feel like, oh, I'm successful or things are rolling in. It feels like, yeah, okay, well, we're playing sort of catch up right now because I was literally eating shit and behind a fucking dumpster for a decade of my life.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. So it is. It's also nice too when it is a slow burn in the fact that you definitely appreciate it more.
Yeah,
Dave, you gotta walk up to the front of your house some days and be like, "Yo," like I'm a homeowner. Like that's pretty wild. I mean, where it's like in our time of friend, and you probably feel like you had a million years of life before you even met me. But I mean, like, you know, nothing about being failing or anything, but you were just like young and just kind of skirting by doing whatever. You'd hang at my house. We would dick around doing, you know what I mean? There was no like, you didn't even feel like a tension of like, I got to get something going right now. You know what I mean? Like it was just kind of like living it and doing comedy. That's why I said, I didn't feel when I was in my 20s either, like, I didn't feel a pressure of success in comedy. I was like,
no, it was all about getting good.
I was like, I'm in the club, so I guess like I'm doing the right thing. I feel like I was like moving in the direction. So I'm like, yeah, we'll that'll figure itself out.
No, for better or worse, I was very like I had a very like romantic artisty type of view on it. Like I was always like really concerned with like being really good at stand-up comedy. Yeah. But it was never really like, oh, I got to get this go. I didn't have like a business mind like that.
Yeah,
but no, it is pretty wild that you're just like, even just when you have stuff that you're like, oh, this is all off just my words.
You know? I want to say this because I know some people will bitch and moan in the fucking comments and be like, here they go. They're talking about how successful they are. We are not successful.
We're not that successful.
We are like we were like I look at like what Schultz and Chris D and Tim Dillon, these guys make millions of fucking dollars. Like we're not like I'm talking about like Dave just bought a house and it's like if Dave owned a decent deli in a nice town in Jersey, he'd buy a comparable house. Like it was just like
you ain't getting this house off deli money.
Small business owner or like.
Maybe somebody a few delis. Yeah, we expanded. We got like four delis. Yeah, maybe.
Why was it me and you? I don't have a house. Like, I hope I can get a house in like a year or two. And yeah. I'm in my.
Well, I mean, you
my,
can.
I'm gonna be in my late 40s.
Well, that's not true. You could.
So you can. That's well. Here's the thing. I think, and it all seems insurmountable, right? Because I'm looking at houses now, and as soon as I get my tax in for this year, I'm gonna fucking get pre-approved for a mortgage. I'm really excited about this. It's like. It seems like a bigger deal than it is. Like you're just, it's similar to me. It's not that you couldn't own a house. Timing wise, the way it's set up in your life right now, it just isn't the right time to do that and make that move.
Dude, I remember, it's really funny to go through the experience for the first time, especially when you have it's not like, again, like Lewis, it's not that we're successful. It's that I was so broke throughout like my entire 20s and early 30s. Like
I don't know that like, Andrew Santino or Schultz or any of these guys experience like, me and Dave would fantasize about killing ourselves daily while we were together because we were so broke. I mean, we were literally like, dude, wouldn't killing ourselves be awesome? Wouldn't that be great?
No, me and Lewis's friendship was, and even me and Jay's friendship at times. Like, I remember cracking into Jay's fucking big coin fucking jar to go get Burger King and shit. Like, we were, me and Lewis were like friends, like, where it was like, all right, what do you got? I got $7. All right, I got $3. All right, can we get lunch out of this to get, like, it was like that. You know what I mean? Like,
me and Davey
just buy
splitting.
Cigarettes, really.
We were splitting, me and you were splitting the three pack of,
Parliament. Oh, buy two, get one free cigarettes?
Yeah, that'd be great to have.
Like, I mean, you had to find those deals.
That. But so it's like when you have that and you get used to living like that for so long, it's this weird. I remember talking to my my money guy when I wanted to buy this place, and I was like, hey, so I want to buy this place. Can I buy this place? And he was like, yeah, sure. Like, yeah, you can do that. And I was like, okay, so like, what do you think? Like, what are my chances of like getting a mortgage for it? And he's like, you'll get a mortgage. It was like, if you want it, you'll get it. And I just being kind of blown away by that. And then even after he said that, when they approved it so quickly, it was just like,
buddy,
such
a weird feeling. If I bought a video game system and they run the card, it's like, ding, good to go. All right, you want this in a bag? You're like, it's all good? Everything's good?
Like it's
I get anxiety about my card getting declined anytime they run. Anytime they swipe it, I'm like, oh, here we go. Please go through.
I've had it decline for dumb reasons, like computer reasons. I've had it decline, and I believe it as I'm just like, yeah, there it is. They figured it all out. The whole thing's falling to pieces. They cut off my credit cards.
I remember. I think I told Lewis this. I think I said this on to you. But it was like a couple months after I got approved for the mortgage. I got the house, and I was like, it's a big house. I need a bunch of TVs. And Lauren was like, oh, you should open a Best Buy credit card because they give you like whatever if you do that. And I swear my first instinct, this is like just after being approved for a mortgage. My first was like, no one's going to give me a Best Buy credit card, woman. Like, are you crazy? No one would do that.
And just now like, Dave stands as a Best Buy Platinum member.
We're all thinking about our Macy's card. I mean, that was mine. Yeah. It was the Macy's that you got, spent money right away, never paid it once. I didn't make a payment on the very first credit thing I bought ever. And then it was there. And then 7 years later, I guess it went away.
Yeah. My first credit cards were all maxed out, taking my girlfriend at the time to Chili's. I bought her some jewelry. And then I bought,
Timberlands. I bought her Timberlands.
I bought all of our prom photos. Like they were like the prom, there was like a prom photo
big
package.
You got the big, yeah,
like
package.
$180 or whatever. And the credit card's at a $500 limit, right? So it was like a $180 package, but it was like for two people. And I was like, no, babe, don't worry. I got it. Meanwhile, they live in literally $1 million home. Like they were a very well to do family.
Hey, babe, you see that frame made of two swans' necks making a heart? That's all yours, baby girl.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick moment and thank YoKratom.com for being the exclusive sponsor on today's show. We love YoKratom. They've been supportive of this network and all the things we do for so long. If you guys are in the market for Kratom and you're over the age of 21 years old, you got to get it from YoKratom.com.
YoKratom.com. If you like Kratom, this is really a no-brainer. It's the best quality stuff. It's the best price you're going to find anywhere. It's shipped right to your door. And if you love Kratom and you love us, well, then go buy your Kratom from the company that helps us so much. YoKratom.com.
Whoa.
YoKratom.com.
In unison. YoKratom.com. All right. Where were we? Those are the fucking good old days. We got to really quickly, because we have to get the BOPAB here in just a few minutes. But, update on Roiland. They've removed Justin Roiland from Rick and Morty.
Gone. Now they got to find somebody who does those voices.
Why is he gone?
The writing I'm not worried about, because I think the writing really is Dan Harmon heavy. But
domestic abuse thing? That's what it was?
Oh, Dave, you weren't here for the Roiland episode. That's what's going on.
Oh, yeah. What happened?
So not only domestic abuse, he was like texting underage girls.
Is it also domestic abuse?
Yeah. He got arrested for domestic abuse and for kidnapping, because he held the door closed and wouldn't let her leave. We've all kidnapped, whatever. Not going to hold that against him, ironically.
Okay. Sure. Maybe I guess you did, but that's cool.
That's really just you, but okay.
Mm-hmm. But hey, that's fine. Listen, you're you. I didn't see the domestic abuse thing. I thought it was all like talking.
He was arrested.
Girl. Oh shit!
He was arrested in 2020. This is where this all started coming out. Once the arrest got reported, a bunch of girls started coming out talking about how fucking abusive he is, and how crazy he is.
And then the underage chick.
Most of it's just him being hilarious with underage fans.
Yeah,
a lot of hilarity.
Killing it. The Roiland chant really made me laugh though all week when we did.
Yeah.
Every time you read another one of his terrible texts.
Yeah.
But it's pretty gross. Bring up the text so Dave can read it real quick. There's super pretty short.
Yeah, it's fucking.
He's a creep though, for sure.
Yeah, definitely a creep. I mean, I shouldn't say definitely, right? Every man deserves his day in court, right? But it seems like where there's smoke, there's fire. There's a lot of fucking underage chicks, a lot of him being fucking once again, just I don't want to say abusing the power is a weird thing. So can we not fuck fans? Because that's crazy. I'm in a relationship with a girl that started out as being a fan. Right. So how does that?
We know.
Well, you better make it work, because if you don't, you're a rape.
But I'm saying, how does that work? I can't fuck. I have to go to the library and meet a bitch. Get the fuck out of here. It's crazy.
There's other options than that. But sure.
What are the other options?
The library. Fans are library girls. Would I go to the library where there's girls masturbating on computers?
What I'm saying, who else are you supposed to fuck? You can't fuck coworkers.
I think you can fuck
unless
fans.
They're above you in the industry, which I mean, fucking.
I think you can fuck fans. I don't know why you can't fuck fans. I would stay away from fucking comics as much as possible.
Why?
I just think it's anything in the world is going to be the struggle between who's more successful, who's not more successful. It just always becomes an issue.
I don't think that ever.
No, not for Lewis, because he just fucks the talentless ones.
That's not true. Most of the girls I dated are pretty funny.
No, that's true. I'm just kidding.
And I mean, none of them really. I guess I never dated somebody who was more successful than me. You know, at the time, I guess that depends on how you define success, right? But it wasn't. There wasn't like a huge disparity in like quote unquote fame or success. Like it was like one or two gigs. A couple of these girls could have caught up, like, but you know, very quickly. And I would have never been like, oh fuck, she's making more money or has more fans. Like, I would be like, more power to you. I don't have to pick up the slack completely. Now she can fucking like, that was sort of exciting to me. If I was dating a chick who like was working in the industry and was making some fucking cash, that was actually
no, I would think
thing.
I wouldn't think that would be the problem. I would think more just like it's just dating someone you work with in a capacity where it's like, oh, if it goes bad, then there's this awkwardness you got to deal with. You know what I mean?
That well, I mean, how much I'd how much I feel like you'd have to overstate, like, I can do nothing for you. I don't do this because I can do something for you. I can't do anything for you. Do you
but
know what
Lewis
I mean?
Like,
can.
I don't, I, maybe you're just more cynical than I am with, like, women.
No, just, I'm not. I'm sorry.
But let me, I don't see it as... I never had an insecurity of like, oh, this girl's dating because I'm also not big enough. I genuinely can't do anything for them.
Get
and the girls
podcast?
That I date for the most part.
A podcast.
For the
podcast,
girls that I...
trip to Jamaica. Stop selling yourself short, bro.
The girls that I date for the most part are fairly attractive. And if they're going to date somebody for to get shit out of it or to date
they
somebody
could
who can
do,
take
they
them,
could get, just date
they could do way
guy.
Better. They could just do way better. They could do a more attractive, richer person pretty easily.
They could just do better. Not even if they're trying to get money. It's just
no,
like,
but I mean, there's definitely things to be. You, they could go on the road with you. Get I mean, like, you know, a couple of your girlfriends. Have, I mean, like, of course, Kim, like, I'd bring on the road with me anytime. She's fucking
she's hilarious.
She's
yeah, she's very
I think
funny.
She, I think she's Kim's great. But I've funny. Been on shows with other girlfriends of yours. Because like they were your girlfriend, they probably shouldn't have been on.
But very rarely, I'm talking about like a handful of times they do like guest spots on the road, you know. And it's like it's not really like if they were more they were as prepared as a 1 year Luis J. Gomez in Philly was to go do guest spots.
If Karen Feehan was dating you, so that she could host for us co headlining and like
oh yeah,
some Florida show with 45 people there, she really should have.
Feehan's really funny too.
She really should have fucked up better.
But whatchamacallit? Yeah, no, I think, and by the way, also, I just think there is, like, it just puts you, I'm saying it sets you up for a problematic thing. I'm not cynical about that. If I was hitting it off with a young female comic in a situation and she wanted to hook up with me and Christine or whatever, do you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't not do that necessarily because they're a comic, because I would assume if it got to that point, they wanted to do it. Do you know what I mean? But... it can always be said, you know what I mean? It's like, well, what am I going to do? He's like the older, like they could just, if they decide to go lunatic on you.
Well, look, I've also dated a lot of chicks or hooked up with a lot of chicks in comedy and out of comedy where people are like, don't hook up with that chick. That girl's like a fucking crazy bitch and it's not going to be a good idea for you. And for the most part, maybe knock on wood, I've come out somewhat unscathed. And I'll tell you why. Number one, I'm not shitty to them. I'm fucking super honest with them. You can't pretend that you want something more with them. You have to be fucking honest. You have to be like, this is what it is. And you almost have to like get in and get out. You can't stick around for too long. If you stick around, because the reality is these crazy girls, the crazy comes from probably being treated like shit from somebody, whether it's their father or some other dude after that, right? And if you stick around long enough, they'll start to fucking take their crazy out on you. They're going to start to they're going to displace it and put it on you. The reality is there's probably another guy who actually was shitty to them that let them just be angry at that guy. Don't stick around and let them start displacing that anger on you. So the reality is you can't date those crazy bitches. You just got to really fuck them a couple times.
It's Pippin 101, doggy.
I think I'm onto something with this theory, though.
Iceberg Slim said it best. Eyes on the heels, bitch.
Let's do plugs real quick and let's switch gears and do some Bop Bab, which, by the way, literally, I think at least 98% positive feedback on the new Bop Bab. A handful of people are, you know, still upset about it, but the overwhelming
really music.
Oh, my God. The overwhelming feedback that we're getting from the fan base. It's absolutely crazy. It's so supportive. So I'm really happy we're doing this. The bands have been fucking great. They're competing for $2,000. They're competing to perform at Skankfest. This is a big fucking deal. Huge, huge deal.
Plug
it up. Can I plug?
Sure.
Me and Aaron Berg. This weekend, we're finishing off the Offend Everyone Tour, Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. If you guys are anywhere near that area, which that's like three centralized area, please drive me because we can't get a lift. We're banned. No, come out and support this show. It's the end of our tour. It's going to be really amazing shows. We're fucking going extra hard this weekend. So come out, Cuyahoga Falls, Funny Stop. And then I'm going to be at a bunch of places. Just go to lewisofskanks.com to grab tickets for any of these gigs. But I'm me and and Big J. I'm going to be opening up for Big J at the Fox Theater and at Boston, the Wilbur Theater, which is awesome, in February. And then I'm taking February off, but I got a bunch of stuff starting in March. I'm going to be in Yonkers, San Diego, St. Louis, West Jordan, Utah, which I'd never been to, Houston, Texas, Lafayette, Louisiana. I'll be in Detroit. I'm going to be at a bunch of places. Go to lewisofskanks.com. Most of those tickets are up right now. And subscribe to my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/PRRattlesnake. Check out the Spit Roast, which we're very, very excited about. The next one will be February 1st. Almost sold out already. Big J going to be judging, Shane Gillis judging, Joe List judging the next one. This is going to be a fucking huge fucking show, the next one. But it's the next evolution in competitive roasting right here on the Gas Digital Network. You guys can go watch the first episode in its entirety right now on Gas Digital.
Go ahead, Davey.
Hell yeah. Comic Dave Smith, comicdavesmith.com. That's my site with all my dates. If you're listening to this now, this comes out Friday, right? So Saturday night, one night only, I'll be in Perryville, Maryland. The show is almost sold out. I think there's like 20 tickets left or something like that. If you want to come out, come on out to that. The live podcast, I think there's still a few tickets left, a few more tickets left for that one, but come on out to that. That should be fun. Then I'll be in, at Hyenas in Fort Worth, Dallas, doing a bunch of stand-up shows there. Then at House of Comedy in Detroit, Soul Joel's Comedy Club out in Pottstown, PA, and Side Splitters in Tampa. I got a few more dates coming up too that should be added up on the website in the next couple days. Oh yeah, Chicago, Zany's in Chicago. Ticket links are all up at comicdavesmith.com. Go check me out there, of course, Part of the Problem. And that's all. I just did the Megyn Kelly show again. That just came out. She's great. I like her a lot. I always enjoy doing that show. Yeah, so that's up. I think it's up on like
was
YouTube.
It Zoom or you went in platforms.
No, Zoom.
Oh, nice. BigJComedy.com for all my dates. My next dates are, in fact, next weekend. It's going to be me and Lewis, and Paco is going to come with us too, to do the Fox Theater and the Wilbur Theater. I think some tickets still left for the Wilbur Theater, so check out and get some tickets for that. Let's fucking fill that shit up, dude.
You sold out the Fox Theater?
No. I think there's I don't know where that is. That could be 100% empty for all I know. But the Wilbur, I know, is selling very well. Like, I just know what that is. Cause that's
well, you made it sound like there were no tickets left.
Yeah. There's
maybe it's the way you promote it.
Yeah. Hey, everyone, buy tickets for the Fox Theater. Buy 10 or 20. But that's going to be a lot of fun. And then Tuesday night, I believe that next Tuesday, me, you, and Lewis are going to be at the Comedy Store doing a stand-up show. So that should be a lot of fun.
We're doing a stand-up show. Excuse me.
Yeah, I'm gonna
I didn't
headline.
Know that.
Yeah, they wanted me to headline a show, so
great.
Doing a stand-up show. And then we're doing doing something that's burning up there. It's gonna be a lot of fun. And then I'm all over the road, everyone. You know, going through hard till April. And then some fun summer announcements coming up that I can't really say just yet, but that's gonna be a lot of fun shit. BigJComedy.com. Look for a city near you. Coming all over the place, everybody. Coming all over the place tour. There it is. Found it organically. The Bonfire and the SDR show.
All right. Let's do some motherfucking bop-bab.
Motherfucking.
Battle of the Badass Bands.
Once again, these bands are competing for $2,000 and a spot at Skankfest, which is a big deal.
In your ass.
So
today's battle.
What do we got? We're going to the right hand side now, right?
Yes.
Yes, sir. But so do you want to go through the left hand side real quick?
The winners that we have so far, right now, moving on to the second round, are Mercy Mine, Wyatt Olney and the Wreckage. Violet Knight will be going against Wild Plains. Bobby, if you would. Then we'll have Spaceman going against One-Eyed Moon. Prime and PM going against Far Wild.
Very cool. I really hope that this week we see some great, and we've seen some great stuff already, but I feel like the first week sets such a high standard that it's been hard to sort of top that now.
Yeah. Now we're swinging over to the Eastern Conference. Round one, or this is all the people we have going against each other today, is In the Closet versus Sauce, Datura versus Lucifist. Returning, Disco Risque versus The Full Flavor. And then Bundy and the Spins versus Volgara.
So in the closet, their bios.
Bobby, I heard you take a big breath, Bobby. What's up?
Yeah. Can you just turn your mic up just a tad?
Turn it up?
Yeah, you got quiet when you came back.
You want me to turn it up and rip the knob off?
Sure.
Is that better?
That is the better, yes.
That is the better. Why are you?
That isn't a better.
That isn't a better.
I like when Bobby turns his mic on. I just know Bobby's here because he goes.
In the closet, their bios were the hottest boy band out of Southern Maine, causing massive environmental issues across the state and slinging hot garbage all over the place. Song that they're going to be doing this week is Salad Toss. I like the picture.
It's cool that none of them have eyes.
It's crazy.
Yeah, they didn't want to be. I don't know why they would do that. I guess we're not.
It might not even be them, to be honest.
It probably is. Who's fucking the chick? For sure one of them is.
First song this week is called Salad Toss.
So 1 minute. Toss. I swag, I socks, I shine, I flux, I'm trying. No get my salad toss. Get my salad toss. Get my salad toss. Get my salad toss. Get my salad.
I want this Hordes gang fest.
I mean, it does seem like they would be a good fit for performing at gang fest.
That was fun. I really enjoyed that.
It was, I mean, there are other songs we can't really, you know what? I'm not going to say any of the other names because the other song names are funny and it does make me want to see them go through more, but we maybe shouldn't know that.
We didn't get a very diverse sample of their lyrics.
I feel like with what I heard, though, I do know where they stand on at least one issue.
Salad tossing?
Just wants her pro? Fucking asshole eaten. And if she comes to Skankfest, we can maybe make that happen.
Oh, we could probably get her salad tossed, no doubt. Lewis.
Skankfest is a very pro salad tossing environment.
Lewis, ironically, nobody ever eats real salads.
Lewis, can I give constructive criticism?
Please, to me personally?
Yes.
Am I moving too much in my chair?
No. Not at all. Because I know you can do this good because I know you are a presenter by nature.
Naughty.
not because I hate you. And I want you and Dave, because of the other ones, I've been reading all the bios and introducing the song and everything, but you got to put a little oof into it, dude. You read that. You gave them nothing. You're like, we're the hottest boy band out of Southern America. Give them some oomph, dude. Present them.
All right.
Bring it in big. And I feel bad because it's going to give him an advantage, but... You know, let Dave do sauce so it's even Stevens, and then you'll.
Oh, Hold on, I don't have this. I just gotta find it.
No, hey, you're not good at presenting things, you fucking lazy jerk off, fucking asshole. Here you hear your plugs like.
Wow.
Shut up! Not how to present anything.
Right under the.
I fucking
surface,
read the sentence. It was fine. You say the same criticism by me anytime I read anything.
Yeah.
Dave, I just put it in the chat.
Fucking prick, bastard.
We'll learn how to read. You're like R. Kelly. I go, Lewis, read this next scene. You go, you motherfucker, I don't want to read it. Fucking, this whole thing's stupid. Reading's so stupid.
Hold on.
Dave,
Sauce? Is that the next one?
Yep.
Oh, okay. I found the email.
Their bio's really long, too. I'm glad I don't have to read this one. I'm going to be honest with you.
Sauce is simply four dudes who play music and slay puss.
With
fueled
eyes.
By fine Pilsner and Wawa Gobblers,
yes.
The band plays and hosts shows in northern VA and DC.
We call fucking, this Tim Butterly the band.
we fucking hate our bassist. That's a great line.
That's great.
Our covers are what we like to call recognizable. Our original tunes include themes of statutory rape, whales,
nice.
The
nice.
Tainted love of alcoholism,
nice.
Nose beers, Scarlett Johansson, Vin Diesel's masterpiece, XXX, and of course, the unjust freedom of Harambe's murder. We taped all of our practice sessions, attempts at capturing lightning in a bottle, but we mostly caught white male privilege and superiority ringing out from a mother's basement. The type of casual banter we all know and love. Racism, sexism, a surprising amount of anti-Semitism, and promotion of genocide, to name a few. Man, Jesus. This blackmail and leverage we all have on each other has created an everlasting bond. We'll go as far in life as the rest of us allow.
That is an interesting point, though. Like, I can blackmail both of you in a I could destroy both of you.
Nah, you got no credibility.
Give me money regularly, and you could both do the same to me, and that does create a bond between brothers.
Yeah. We're bound by guilt.
I have no guilt.
I mean, I don't think there's anything that horrible, but I guess if we think about it, sure.
The three of us could blackmail the fuck out of each other. Are you out of your mind?
These guys they look like jerk-offs, but, and I mean this, they look like my jerk-offs. They look like dudes, so I'd be like, oh, these guys are all right dudes. I like
them. They look like Philly guys.
Yeah. Yeah, they really do.
All right. So, well, their song today is TBD. So let's go with
that. Is
that
the name of the song, or do you think it's actually to be determined?
That's the genius of naming a song TBD.
Smart.
No one knows.
Good. Sauce good.
All right. Let's get 15 seconds of it.
She calls my name and I must go.
It's fun. Good.
Yeah, that was good.
It was fun. It made me want to hear more of it. This is a tough round.
That's a really tough round because I really
it's tough at all, dude. We want to hear that girl get her butt eaten.
Man, this might be a luck of the draw, guys. I feel terrible, but I do want to hear this girl. I mean, let me see. What's the next title? I'm not going to read.
No,
it
you can't keep that. You can't consider
I'm
that.
I'm not. Oh, come on! By the third song, dude, I'm going to be pounding out to these bitches.
It's like, I want a fat guy to eat my puss. What?
It's like, we know you're into getting your salad tossed. What else do you like?
J fuck my face. J fuck my face. J fuck
really
my face. J fuck my face. Doom 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 doom. J fuck my face. Yeah.
I gotta give my vote for In the Closet. I thought they were silly. It was executed as well. I thought they were comparably executed. And I just thought that it was kind of a fun and a unique sound.
I like it. I feel like when they win, we should play like like 15 more seconds.
No.
Well, it's too late now, yeah. In round two, we have Datura going against Lucifist.
Dude, it's awesome that anybody would still have this look.
She goes, are you building a time machine to go wrestle in the 90s?
Hey, fucking rule, dude.
We are. They better be Swedish. That guy, though. I like Datura. They're all over the place with the look. Datura. We are Datura, a post-punk death rock goth band from Wenatchee, Washington. We formed in 2017 as David Betancourt, vocals, guitar, Jake St. John, bass, and Tiffany Schaefer, drums. Datura.
Oh, that's a gal.
Yeah, dude, come on.
What?
Lewis.
What? Oh, really? Oh, really? Okay, Datura, you know your drummer looks duty.
Kind of looks come like on. the chick from The Matrix.
Yeah, it's got a Carrie Ann Moss thing. Wait.
Or no, what's
which
the
one? Which one is the chick?
On the right.
Oh. I was defending the one up front. Datura has three releases known as Orphans, Bury Me, and a full-length album, Arcano Chemical. We are currently in the process of writing and recording for our upcoming full-length album.
Okay.
More to be announced soon. Find us on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, among many other formats. Subscribe to our YouTube channel to see live show footage, music videos, and upcoming interviews. Come support us at DaturaPNW at .bandcamp.com. Their look, interesting.
I like the look. I know we're fucking around with the fucking
An interesting look for sure.
Yeah it's gothy, it's fun, it's rock and roll, you know.
They're doing a thing. I'm curious to hear what their music is. First song is called Sapphire, 1 minute in for 15 seconds.
Shadows, I'll be with me tonight.
doing the Wednesday dance.
Oh, the music definitely matches the look.
Yeah, dude.
I gotta say, I kind of dig it.
I dig it too. I could see it being a viral TikTok where they make Wednesday dance to it.
Yeah, when something makes me sadness. I did not like that at all. Lewis?
I'm doing my Wednesday dance, sorry.
Oh, is that the Wednesday dance? I was doing the fucking Molly Ringwald in Breakfast Club.
I thought that they really nailed it. And this is a resurging category of music that's coming back right now. That's like got a cool thing going on. Yeah, like a retro goth thing. You're seeing it more and more on like trending songs on Reels. And you know, Lady Gaga just put out a song that sounds like old retro goth.
Yeah, I like that.
All right.
It was great. And honestly, I didn't even notice that it was a chick playing the drums.
Is it?
Tiffany, or it's a fucking dickhead who's naming himself Tiffany.
Oh, no, there is Tiffany on drums. All right, I thought it was a guy, too. Something tells me Tiffany likes the gals.
You think so?
Yeah, I think she's would be okay if she lost to a Lucifist, if you know what I mean.
I think we're going to catch Tiffany eating that other girl's butt at Skankfest.
The girl in the front.
Yeah.
You didn't see that picture when she started licking that girl's pussy.
Tiffany and the In the Closet Singer are gonna get down.
That's why I get so sad.
I love eating box.
My drummer is a dyke. It makes me so sad. She says she eats pussy better than me. It makes me so sad. Do Lucifist, Lewis. We're going to go on
Lucifist. I feel like I've heard the name Lucifist before.
Oh,
I believe they
were
in the contest.
We have. It's Tony all the way on the right. They were from Dwarves Among Midgets.
Oh, Dwarf Among Midgets. Yes. Okay, so they're now rebranding as Lucifist, and they have a Dave Smith lookalike
good move.
In the band.
Yes,
there
sir.
There he is. Thank you for putting it into color, too, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, Dwarf Among Midgets rules. They were former winners of BopBab. Former BopBab winners. So these guys, we know they got fucking chops. We know they can play.
Do the bio, Lewis. Make them proud.
I got to pull it back.
What a horrible picture. Look at the guy in the middle. It's like it caught him in his glasses in the middle of his eyes. Or is he trying to Undertaker it?
I don't know.
There's like five. Every guy in this band is. Yeah, he's doing the Undertaker thing. Everybody in this band is such a different guy. Dave Smith is lifeguard.
Bio. We are a thrash band from Indianapolis, Indiana. I know. We are down to party and get wild thrash life. Guitarist and Dwarf Amongst Midgets, BopBab winner 2019, recorded and mixed our stuff. Thanks for checking us out to Tony Two Time. Okay, so the guitarist from Dwarf Amongst Midgets recorded a mix of stuff. He's not in the band. All right, let's hear the song Get Fucked Up by Lucifist.
Let's get fucked up until we're stupid dumb. Let's get wasted until your face is numb. Let's get shit-faced and ripped it.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It was fun, produced well. Jay?
Yep, it was all that stuff.
What's going on with you?
Just feel bad because I know Tony, but I think I like the Tura better.
Oh, that's what's going on. You're fucking too personal. I forgot that. By the way, I didn't even know that they were fucking going against each other. I was listening to them, and it's sad that I think I like the Tura better as well. Fuck.
Yeah,
I really like that.
I like both of them. They're great, but I would lean toward Datura.
I mean, slightly, like to the point where I'm even debating it.
Well, you guys picked Datura, so I'm going to go Lucifist, but you guys win majority.
No, but I might go Lucifist, dude. I might go Lucifist.
No,
though.
Well, then don't
so
do
don't,
that.
Yeah, don't,
now,
no, don't do that.
Asshole.
No, no, I'm not being any asshole. I actually genuinely feel this way. No. You...
I like the Torah. I really did. Damn it.
You know what, Lewis? I'm going to join. No, I'm going to Torah.
Look, I think the DeToro were unique. They were nailing what they were doing. I shouldn't say.
I was more curious. I was more curious about the next thing.
Yeah, this was a fun song, and I think they'd really fit in well at Skankfest. And it luck yeah. of the draw. Luck of the draw.
Drawer.
Drawer.
Look at the drawer.
Look at the drawer.
So DeToro's going to be moving on?
DeToro's moving on, folks.
Okay. We've got two more battles.
Disco Risque.
Oh, shit. The return of Disco Risque.
Oh, no.
Disco Risque. They had like, are they the ones who did, they went far in the competition, right?
I think so.
Yes. Yeah.
Davey?
They're finalists from Bob Back 2018. Wow.
Disco Risque is Charlie Murchie, the lead guitarist, Robert Slim Prescott.
I would skip through all of that. That's so long of everybody in the band.
Okay, it's a band of a bunch of dudes.
You
gotta
fucking read their bios. If you read everyone's bios, you read everyone's bios, dude.
Founded in 2004. I'm going with Jay. Founded in 2014 in Charlottesville, Virginia. The band's early intentions involved writing music that was both brutal and catchy, aggressive but melodic, heavy yet danceable.
Perfect for a tiki march.
With the addition of Sean on keys in the fall of 2020, the band's sound inherited a new fullness and warmth that allows for bigger arrangements. In February of 2021, the band released an EP titled D3P.
The Jews will not replace us.
That brings forth a new engagement with fans of pop culture. D3P
music,
was followed
pop music.
Up. Huh?
Pop music.
Sorry, my mistake. Engagement with fans of pop music. D3P was followed up in the spring of 2022 with the EP Top of the Key, featuring the party song Draw Like One of Your French Girls, written from the perspective of the band's better halves. After clearing the pandemic hurdle, the boys in Disco Risque are very proud to release their newest full-length album, Joke Squad, a brutally heavy instrumental dance album that has crowds headbanging and two-stepping all over the East Coast. Finalists from BotBab 2018, Disco Risque is hoping to take her all the way down this year.
Are they the ones who, what was the one song they had?
I like their thing's cool. It's like trippy dance music.
It was, I remember fucking they had the one thing and somebody made fan art. It was a really cool piece of fan art that like I fucking had printed. And I
Thundercunt?
Thundercunt. It was Thundercunt.
No, but that was great.
Was that Disco Risque? Was it Thundercunt?
No.
I don't believe they did Thundercunt.
That wasn't Disco Risque.
No, well, the song they're going to play for us today, or 15 seconds of, is American Maestro.
We're in a different state of mind. Go and lose control. All it takes your soul. Soul.
Yeah, they're good.
I really wanted to see where that was going.
They are good. Okay, and they're going to be going against the Full Flavor. Picture, please. Oh, now these dudes fucking eat meat. for sure. Actually, I'm vegan, man. The Full Flavor's bio, a different taste of music. The Full Flavor created a blues rock psychedelic medley that is unique to this era, yet is filled with influences of many generations. This music is a reflection of the artist and their hometown in Ravenna, Ohio. It's down to earth and raw. Justin Lowry, vocals, bass, guitar, keyboard. Mike Legan, vocals, lead guitar. Joe Rini, percussion. The first song today we're going to hear is Gun for Hire. 1 minute for 15 seconds. The Full Flavor. His lyrics sucked such shit. I know we just caught him in a part of a song. For sure, you can't take that 15 seconds for all the lyrics of the song, but we caught him on some shit lyrics.
No, it wasn't
for you. What I'm gonna do.
I feel bad because a lot of these guys are fans of ours, and I feel bad just trashing them. Just wasn't really my thing.
I think that could have been my thing. It just, I think we caught them at a, that's a just a hilarious part. And it's maybe I'm stoned, but it just caught me how awful those three lines were together.
I'm just not
wildly talented. I like that.
No, they're very, look, they're extremely talented. It's just not my thing. Like you, that music has to be so fucking good to get me to get into that. Just kind of like funk rock, like shit that you'd hear at like a town street fair, and they'd be playing in the background with kids seems, like kicking balls around. Way, and shit.
Seems to be where this picture was taken.
You know what I'm saying? Like you go to like the local town fair, and like they're full like, flavor. Oh, we got fucking Billy and the fucking Billy Bobs up on stage.
Full flavor. I enjoyed it.
Don't all right, I enjoyed you, dude. It.
Tell your real opinion.
Don't. I thought they were great.
I really am.
I thought the lyrics were great. But I'm a disco risque guy.
Yeah, I like going disco risque a lot more.
I'm going disco risque too, but the full flavor, full flavor is probably more, disco risque is probably more in my line.
Jay just doesn't want to fucking see one of you hillbillies on the road and have to look you in the eyes and say he didn't like your music. So just know he doesn't.
No, dude. Well, listen, he already told me, he's going to get through. He's coming for me. It's not what he wants to do.
Jay's going to call his agent and cancel all of his Ohio gigs after this.
No, if these dudes rule, they're laughing at that. But you lost.
But you're gone.
Real nice.
Bundy and the Spins is the next group. I like their look.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's got to be a wig, I think.
I don't know. It's a wigger to the right of him.
Man, these guys' vest budget must be off the charts.
Yeah, dude.
Sick House of a Thousand Corpses shirt, though.
Yeah, cool look. Fucking dudes. You know, heavy metal, rock and roll. If they play some, let me say this, dude. Uh-huh. If they come out and ironically play some hillbilly fucking country rock shit, I will. They're. I don't care how good they are. I hate it. Don't look like you're about to be metalheads and then come out with some other shit.
Can I say something right now?
This is just
I'm very stoned, so I got to say it. But every one of these guys, if I told you this isn't how they dress ever, except on picture day, wouldn't you sort of believe it? It looks like everyone's wearing a sort of a car. I'm sure they're not, but that's what it looks like. The one on the right. Yeah.
He's like, I feel so uncomfortable right now.
Yeah. Did I cut my sleeves off too far?
Bundy and the Spins is a rock and roll band based out of Troy, Ohio.
Somebody cut the sleeves off for the picture while he was wearing it. Look at how bad the cuts are.
He looks like he was struggling in the shirt while someone cut it off.
It's itchy. And someone's like, all right, I'm cutting the fucking sleeves off. It hurts my armpits.
This is going to be a weird request. Can you cut my sleeves off, man? While it's on me? No, you got to understand.
I got weird, sparse chest hair, so I kind of don't want to take it. You just cut around my body. I don't want it to show off my zombie Elvis tattoo.
Now, here's the other problem. I only have left-handed scissors.
What do you cut? You cut your shirt. You cut your sleeves off with a butter knife while you were wearing it. I was gonna use nail clippers. I'm about to Hulkamania out this thing if you don't take that goddamn picture.
If you could just grab both of my sleeves and rip them off my body right now.
Oh, dude. That's literally. And then the lead, I assume it's the lead singer, looks like, I don't know if that's a wig or not. He looks like one of the Beastie Boys characters in Sabotage.
Which one is Bundy?
Well, I mean, the guys in the back are the Spins. It might be the guy. I'm Bundy.
No, I'm Bundy. I'm Bundy. We're all Bundy.
Everybody Bundy.
I think Bundy is the guy on the right. He should be the leader of that band. He rules.
Or Jason Sokoloff in between them.
Big reference.
But that's a good one. It looks a lot solid. Like Jason Sokoloff. For you guys, it was great. You read their thing? Lewis?
Did you read it?
No, I thought I heard whistling like a serial killer was trying to get to me and fucking freak me out.
Did you read it, Lewis, yet?
No. Bundy and the Spins is a rock and roll band based out of Troy, Ohio. Members include Brandon Cook, Zach Robbins, Thomas Collins, and Jason Kettering, and Mark Shetter. Our full catalog of songs is available on Spotify. For a further look into the band and to stay updated on live show dates, follow us on Instagram at Bundy and the Spins. First song is Dirty Rock and Roll.
All right, I like that.
That was
I
awesome.
Like that a lot. That was really good.
It was like if Motorhead like had a little more melody.
Yeah, it was like, well, it was like early Metallica. It sounded like sort of.
Yeah, that was really great.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It was great. Yeah. Really, really well put together. Sounded great. Professional. Right up my alley. You know, you could see that on in a fucking trashy bar. Fucking, you know, everyone's drinking fucking cheap beer that's playing in the background. I dig it.
The girl getting raped on a pinball machine.
Girl getting her butt eaten.
Everyone's
the girl from that first
cheering.
Bang getting her asshole eaten on a pinball machine.
He loves her salad tossed. She's
all right. Well, they're going up against Vulgara.
Yeah.
Vulgara. Is it my turn to read?
It's yours. Yep.
Vulgara is a heavy metal band from Southeast Michigan, formed in 2019 by drummer Vinny Vandro, guitarist Shane Cott, and bassist Zach Sanders.
They all have rock star names.
Dave like, has drawn like, the longest bios by far.
For every time. They're just like, Dave, here's a chapter.
Luck of the draw. You've pulled Vinny, these every time.
Vinny Vandro is a great name.
It is a good rock star name. I'm not sure that it makes you think he changed it. All right. On April 23rd, 2021, the band released their fast, energetic single, Wings Made of Wax, as well as a music video from their debut album, Eclipse. Dabber, which features 7 studio tracks and was released on June 10th, 2021. A year later on Halloween, they released yet another powerful single titled Edge of the Grave, with a creepy music video shot in a graveyard to go along with it. Vinny and Shane began playing music together at the young age of 10, leading to the discovery of their unmatched chemistry.
They also jerked off together a bunch if they were friends since that age.
Well, I mean, that was part of the unmatched chemistry. Their vision for the future as a music group became truly apparent upon meeting Zach, who brings the hard-hitting tone to Vulgara's unique riffs. From then on, their songs began to take shape as the band found their place in music as Vulgara. And the song we're going to be hearing 15 seconds of is called Edge of the Grave.
Edge of the Grave. Sorry.
Both those songs were really good.
They were really good. I was definitely more feeling I think Bundy and the Spins.
So
yes.
I like Vulgara a lot, but I do think they just it wasn't as unique of a sound. And I shouldn't say it's like Bundy and the Spins was so unique. Like I've heard that sound before.
Sure.
Right? But I think I just like the Bundy and the Spin song a little bit better. It was a little bit less like, you know, that sounded like that. Like that sound, but that riff, that breakdown right there was an exact Seven Dust song, right? You know what song I'm talking about? Bobby Hutch definitely knows, because I know Bobby Hutch is a Seven Dust fan through and through. Yeah,
Denial.
Yeah. Didn't hit me as unique. I was like, yeah, I've heard it a bunch. I've seen bands like that, and they're extremely talented. If they were on Ozfest this year and they were playing fucking main stage, I was like, oh, that would make sense. They're that talented. It just didn't hit me in the fucking unique bone as much as the other one did.
Oh, that might be because you don't have a unique bone.
In my body, I don't.
Your whole body. I just liked the song by Bundy and the Spins better. Also, I want to keep looking at different pictures of them every week.
All right. Well, there you have it. Bundy and the Spins moves on to the next round.
Wow. All right. So
We've eliminated more talented bands in the first round this year than we ever had enter this competition.
Yeah.
You're right. Take that, other people from other years.
Well, maybe with a couple exceptions, maybe.
So
moving on this week, we got In the Closet, Datura, Disco Risque, and Bundy and the Spin. Disco Risque, Bundy and the Spins going up against each other, and In the Closet and Datura. I mean, what a
fun. How often does the person who goes second win? Where's the advantage in that? Go to the other side of the thing.
I mean, last week, all the second place won.
Second places won.
I don't think there's any. For me personally, there's no bias in hearing the other song.
I was just curious.
First or second. In a weird way, I don't really put them against each other. I sort of make a decision whether or not I like it in my head and how much I like it.
I'm just saying, just by circumstantially, Wild Planes is the only band that was like not in line with everything else in their bracket. As far as like being first or second person. Weird. Those bands moving on next week. Next week we have, let me announce the bands for next week, is going to be The Ghost versus Midnight Threat. V2A versus Depiratus, Leave It to Cleaver going against the Sushi Kittens, Son of Scylla versus Gondre the Giant, great name. And that'll be the final round of our, the preliminaries. What is this? The wild card?
Round one.
Jay's high.
That was easy enough. I am high. Awesome. Well, dudes, I love you both. I can't wait to kiss you on the mouth in person on Monday.
I'm looking forward to that. In studio with Ari Shaffir and Steve Renazzisi on Monday.
Oh, we're not at the stand?
Oh, that's what I meant. You know what I meant.
No,
I
mean...
Oh. No, I didn't. That's why I said it.
And then, me and Lewis going to go up Connecticut and Boston next week. And then me, Dave, and Lewis be doing some comedy at the Comedy Store while we're out in L.A. So we'll catch you guys Monday from the stand. Until then, peace.
You've been listening to the Legion of Skanks podcast with Big J. Okerson.
A lazy-eyed albino.
Cry for me. Come on. Cry.
I'm a shepherd of shitheads.
Luis Gomez.
Luis J. Gomez, you motherfucker.
Luis J. Gomez.
If you look at me, I'm going to break your fucking jaw. I want to punch you in your fucking nose. May I punch up my magic in his fucking head.
And comedian Dave Smith.
Fuck you, I ain't got jokes.
I feel like if I wanted to be gay...
Fucking stick your fist up your ass. You have lube.
The Legion of Skanks podcast.
Yo, ding dong, we're done here. Time to go.